Mexican dishes, and even more modern specialties, including their Cadillac fajitas. The house margaritas are the best in town, and the specialty margaritas will have you coming back time and time again. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, downtown on Washington Avenue or on Manchester Road, just west of 270.
This is Doug Vaughn here to tell you to get a jump on the spring home selling season. With low inventories and less competition, homes are fetching higher prices. To leverage a higher price home, call Mark and Neil Gelman of Coldwell Banker Premier with their STL Rocket Listing. Mark and Neil can give you a cash offer. Use their proven accelerated demand program that turns up the marketing and gets you the most money for your home. Either way, your home is sold. Call the Gelmans today at 314-336-1991. Online at 590homes.com and start packing.
Certain restrictions apply.
Looking for the most unique grocery store in St. Louis? That's easy. Star Specialty Grocer, located on Big Bend, one block north of Highway 40. This Richmond Heights treasure has been a part of the St. Louis community since 1979. Stars offers a wine selection second to none, with selections across price points, a unique selection of liquor, varieties of cheeses from around the world, fresh wild seafood flown in daily, and prime beef raised by local farmers. The employees pride themselves on product knowledge and customer service. They're open if you want to stop by or call them to place an order at 314-781-2345. That's 314-781-2345. You can browse beforehand, check out the staff's picks, and then put in your order online at starrs1.com. Remember, for the best in beef, seafood, liquor, and wine, visit Star's Specialty Grocer on Big Bend. And be sure to tell them 590 sent you.
At Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway, our mission is to provide our fans, racers, and sponsors with a first-class and up-close personal racing experience. This includes unprecedented access to the drag strip, the oval, the road racing track, and a nationally sanctioned karting track, plus special events such as concerts and corporate functions for year-round activities. And it's all just 5 minutes from downtown. For more information, visit WWTRaceway.com or call 618-215-8888.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The housing market is really heating up and it's about to take off. Mortgage interest rates are sitting near all-time low levels, and that means you have a lot more buying power. Don't miss out on the home of your dreams by working with the wrong mortgage lender. We make the entire process easy and can get you in your new home in 14 days. Get pre-approved today with our 5-minute loan approval, only available at TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Mom, what do you always say?
There's nothing sadder than jewelry that sits in a drawer.
That's why we are proud to offer jewelry repair on-site at Neustetter's Fine Jewelry. We know that your jewelry is important to you, and we take that part of our job very seriously. Visit us at Doherty Ferry in Big Bend or learn more at wowdiamonds.com.
Be the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
I don't know if I was ready to go on the air yet. Dr. Doug and I were having a nice conversation about carpet versus wood floors and tile. I guess we'll just have to table that till another time, because it is time to check in for the first time this week with the greatest car dealer in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds big, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's true. John Londoff, everybody.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Do you now, as of my last text, understand why I was confused?
Your age?
No. It's because you misspelled a customer's name.
What's that?
You misspelled the last name of a customer. Your original text said Barry, Barry Construction. It's Barry, B-E-R-R-Y. Go look at your very first text.
And his first name's William.
I just said that, yes.
He might go by Bill, or maybe just by William.
But he doesn't go by Bill Barry. It's Barry, B-E-R. So that's all. It just confused me when you said Barry.
You know, Frank, I was multitasking. Yeah. You've seen me before.
Well, you're busier than I am.
Three things at one time.
You're busier than I am.
And my little buddy, my partner at the Autoplex, Jim Saffo, our general manager here. The guy's he wears many hats. He does a lot. And he said, please mention William Barry.
Well, we just did.
Three times.
And he bought a lift truck, is that right?
Yes, that's correct, right?
What does that mean? It's got a lift kit on it? What does that mean?
Now, William, I Bill, I know you're listening, so this is no indication, sir, of because you are from O'Fallon, Missouri. But when you talk about a lifted truck, Frank, I think you need to talk a little southern, a little country.
Okay. All right. So I didn't know exactly if it was a truck that with a some sort of a scoop on it. It's actually just a lifted truck with a lift kit where they pick it up higher off the ground.
Yes, sir.
You got more clearance.
That's right. It has more clearance, and you're up high.
Yeah.
You're up there on top of the world, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we have several of those out in St. Peter's. And let's talk about Richard Purdon. Richard P-E-R-D-U-N. Richard and Mary Kay from Jerseyville, Illinois. Aimed the PM for many, 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 many years. Have the app downloaded.
What's her first name? It's William and...
Richard. Yeah. No, we're done with William. We talked about William and Mary.
Richard,
God bless him.
Richard and...
Mary Kay.
And Mary Kay Purdon.
Purdon.
Hey, who's that behind the customer curtain? Why, it's Richard and Mary Kay Purdon.
Mm. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Pros.
Just made that up.
It's pros.
Thank you.
Still with us?
So, can we go back? Because we said we were going to talk about one of our shows and talk country. And
we didn't say it would be today.
Well, I mean, you know,
we changed our mind about that because we figured after about 15 minutes in, people would be sick of it. But if you'd like to, during this segment, we can all be Southern for this segment. Dr. Doug, can you do a Southern accent?
How about the hee-haw?
Damn straight I can.
Oh. Not only Southern, but a hillbilly.
Yeah.
You sound like the Tennessee Pride sausage guy. There's a sausage called Tennessee Pride.
Is there?
Yeah. And when I grew up, the TV commercials, they had a jingle, and it was a guy with that voice, and at the end of it, he'd say, take home a package of Tennessee Pride.
Yeah.
And, man, we ate a lot of that. So that was before Jimmy Dean came along with his sausage.
Was his name Brady?
So his commercials are still on, but he's long gone, right?
He's long gone. He's been gone for a long time. But that's right. They brought his voice back.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, I think it's weird.
But for a while, they showed video of Colonel Sanders after he died. For a while, they brought him back, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a flashback.
I met him.
You met Sanders?
Yeah.
Whoa, hold on here.
Wait a minute. Hold on now.
You met Colonel Harlan Sanders.
Yeah, he came into, what's the original bank that was, it's gone through many changes, Enterprise.
I don't know.
Can you turn downtown?
Boatman's, there used to be.
Yeah, this is your story. I mean, my segment, but go ahead.
I was
when you're on, Doc. Go ahead. Continue.
I was a kid with my father. We were at one of the big banks visiting, and suddenly it was a Saturday, and I remember the door opens, they roll out a red carpet, and this little old man toggles into the bank downtown, and it was him. I don't even think he started his fame until he was 72 or something like
65,
that.
65, I believe.
65?
Yeah. Close. Still late in life to start a business.
Yeah.
Not bad, though.
Why was he there? They paid him to come make an appearance?
No, I think they had accounts. I guess he was doing some kind of business thing.
Oh, I'm opening maybe some restaurants.
Yeah, but it was funny the way they just... Mercantile, that's what it was.
Okay.
The big mercantile bank.
Yeah. That's a great story.
That's a great story.
I thought this was going to go somewhere.
Man, I'm telling you what, Doc, I didn't. Thing you can take care of, you're a vet, because storytelling is your deal, man.
I was a kid. Give me a break.
Oh, come on. So, big day today, good day today. Been very busy, very, very, very busy. And just want to thank all the AM and the PM customers. It's literally, it's one a day, if not. Two customers a day. It's unbelievable.
If we're playing a game and I said busy as a blank, John, what would you put in the blank? Busy as a...
Well, you know, we always have busy as a beaver.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, because, you know, they're busy chomping down, trees.
When I think of beaver, that's what I think. Chomping down trees.
You know what, Frank?
You know why you never hear that expression anymore? You don't. It's dead. It's gone. Because it meant fur, and there's not any anymore. Grooming came along.
That's right. Uh-huh.
So, no more busy as a beaver.
I'm lost. What are you talking about?
Well, there was an expression, busy as a beaver.
Uh-huh.
Did we just wake up Eli Lamy?
Well, yeah, we woke him up. And then that became a word for a part of the body of a female beaver because of the fur. But now you never hear it referred to that because there's no fur anymore.
I get it.
He goes, I don't understand that.
You were talking about the
vagina.
No, we weren't. No, Paul Harris.
No, you just have to shorten it. You have to shorten it to busy as a bee.
Busy as a bee.
Busy as a bee.
Bee is the other one. BEE. Busy as a bee.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What is it?
Thank you, Colonel.
Busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one, Dan.
Not funny, haha. Funny, queer.
Thank you, Carl.
Yeah, buddy. I'm telling you what. I'm just listening, and it's all good. It's all good, though.
It's not all good.
Well, yeah, you're right. Just hearing your voice. So I will tell. I think AIM and the PM crowd listening. Please, anytime you have a friend that doesn't know about this, download the app. You know, I download the app for many people, and then they.
I know you do. We appreciate that.
I pull it up. I'm like, listen to this. It's clear as a bell. You know, I mean, it's clearer than any radio station you'll ever get because AM radio stations and even FM don't have the clarity of this app. It's a good app. It really is, right?
I agree.
I'm telling you, it's a good app.
I agree.
You're a good app maker.
I didn't make it.
No.
It anything to do with
app
it.
Maker, you're a good app provider.
Hold on. I'm sorry, Dan. What are you singing?
Nothing.
No, go ahead. I'll share it.
I said app maker, make me an app. Find me an app.
Okay, that, yeah.
Download the app.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
And play the large morning show.
That's what he wants. Yeah, if you do something long enough, you'll get what you want so you'll go away and do it. Yeah, my grandson who turns 7 next month.
Oh wow!
When I was at Bertarelli, I found a little pocket knife for him because he collects pocket knives. That's a big deal to him now. And I said he was in the car with me last night. I said, "We get home." I said, "I got some, but I can't give it to you until next month. It's your birthday." He says, "What is it?" And I said, "It's a pocket knife." He said, "Can I have it now?" Well, I knew I couldn't wait. But here's what he said to me. I said, "Well, I gave it to G. That's my wife. We're G and Grumpy." I said, "I gave it to G. She has it. She's going to wrap it."
G for Grandma.
Yeah, she's going to wrap it for your birthday. He said, "I'd really like to have it now." And I said, "Well, I already gave it to her, and maybe she'll let you have
it." When's his birthday?
July 17th. And so she.
It's a long time for a kid to wait.
Well, he didn't wait. Man. I gave it to him last night.
You're easy.
But I am. But I said, we get home, maybe we'll get her to just give it to you now and not hold it and wrap it. And he said, I'll get her to give it to me. And I said, how are you going to do that? And here's what he said. He said, I'm going to do what my friend, and he named his little friend down the street, does to get what he wants. I'll just annoy her until she finally gives in and gives it to him. And he said, my buddy Brent, he does that. Like, if he doesn't want to do school, which is referring to now they have homeschool, and he doesn't want to do it, he just keeps annoying his mom. And finally she says, okay, no school today. He says, so that it works, so that's what I'll do. See, these little kids, they teach each other.
How
to manipulate parents.
When my kids were a little bit older in college, they told me, oh, yeah, Dad, we used to manipulate you guys. If we wanted something big, we'd come to you.
Yeah.
But we had Mom's ATM card, and we bought all our stuff.
And you never knew that.
I never knew.
Yeah, she kept secrets. They keep secrets from you. They do.
Smarter than me.
So, John.
Oh, yeah.
We're glad. We're glad business is good. Thanks to the Purdens for their purchase, AM and the PM. We appreciate that.
P-E-R-D-U-N.
That's why I said Purdens, thanks to the Purdens. Plural would be, two Purdens.
How about we just stick with Richard and Mary Kay?
Okay, Richard and Mary Kay.
You're having a tough time with names today, man.
Yeah. I'll tell you somebody who's having a great day.
You're having a tough time with a lot of stuff today.
I'll tell you somebody who's having a great day. It's the new Chevy owners, Richard and Mary Kay.
Pros. You're pros.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Right after 15 minutes, I'm going to give you the phone number, and I'm going to go talk to some more customers because they're probably AM and the PM. And I did talk to my friend Kurt Barks today.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing well with Complete Auto Body. So I'm just telling you folks, the guy, they do unbelievable work. That's why we shut our body shop down here 14 years ago because we didn't always do really good work. But we do have one heck of a service department with Bruce Weiner and the team. So give us a call, 314-837-1800. That's 314-837-1800. Or if you want to talk a little country, that's 314-837-1800.
He's really into that southern accent thing today.
He's really good.
All right, John.
Hi, Frank.
They're on the way.
All right, I'm calling in during your segment, Doc. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
He won't. He won't.
I wouldn't mind if he did.
Music maestro.
How much is that job?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is your chance to get some great advice about your pet or pets, plural. A lot of people have more than one. We have Dr. Doug Pernikoff, as we do every Wednesday. Here are the phone numbers, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Dr. Doug is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, and the official window of the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com for more. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, how is everybody today?
He always blows that microphone up.
Well, it's really weird. I'm getting two different levels.
Well, he's trying to... You're harsh, and then you soft. You back off. You're not really consistent.
My wife says that every day.
Yeah, you talk real soft sometimes.
Yeah,
it's
hard to run levels on you.
I'm very genteel.
As they say.
Right.
So I have, while we're waiting for calls, and we are waiting, I don't see any calls. You folks who say you can never get through, you get through now. I think one of the things we should also do is we've done videos now for all the advertisers that I speak for. I think we should do, and I'm going to do this, just a really brief minute or so with the people they hear on the air, like you, Dan Buffa,
love it,
Josh Bauman, because they don't get to see these people. So yeah. I think we'll do that next.
Okay.
And that stuff we can do, well, Bill's not here, but next week or two when you're here and he's here.
Just let me know.
Grab some video of you maybe sitting here doing your part of the show. This is a very odd, and now I'm starting to think, here we go again with our phone bank. We have no calls. I'll give the numbers again, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. While we wait, I have two sons, and they each have dogs. My daughter does not have a dog, and we think there's a possibility that one of my sons, the older one, may be allergic. And he's crazy about this dog. But he got this dog at the end of last year.
Uh-huh.
And a month later, he has started having these severe, serious sinus issues. And he went to the doctor, and prednisone. No. It looked like it was knocking it out. And I said, you know, it's possible. As soon as I started to say it, he said, I am not getting rid of the scraps. He's crazy about this dog. Is that common that somebody can? And well, if it's so, can he not get a shots or something? He'd have to get rid of the dog.
Yeah,
if it's true,
he could probably get. They do hyposensitization shots, so they would make up some kind of serum,
right,
from the dog, and then he could kind of desensitize himself with shots. I don't know. But
well, he needs to get a test for that. He had to actually go to the emergency room this morning because he's so miserable. It's a not long haired dog. It's like a half shepherd and terrier. It's a medium hair.
He might try to begin with just trimming it down, like do a summer trim. May not look exactly.
Yeah, but if you're allergic,
well, yeah, wouldn't, it's going
to
be.
Wouldn't you have somebody house sit the dog for a period of time to see if your condition's got any better?
Well, so we actually thought about that. Leave the dog with us for a week and see what happens.
And
I don't know if he wants to sit. He's crazy about this dog.
Yeah, I know he is.
I'm not kidding. He really is.
Well, he's going to have to do something, because otherwise...
Well, I think he needs to be tested, and surely there's an allergist to go, you're allergic to your dog, and let's give you what we need to give you. You don't have to, I don't think, get rid of the dog. But it may not even be what it is. I just wondered, and I think I've heard before of people who get a pet, oh, my God, they're crazy about it, and then they realize they're allergic to it.
Yeah, it's highly suggested.
This is absolutely true. There have been a couple of cases of people who got married and find they are, this is not a joke, allergic to their spouse.
Yeah.
He's right.
No, yeah, that is right. True.
Yeah, then what happened
to me? Happened to me, but I still.
I don't know what you do when that happens.
Right.
But that has happened to people.
They need you to listen to crime.
And they didn't live together, and they didn't know till they moved in together and spent every day and night that. Oops, allergic.
Wow.
Lucky.
Yeah, lucky.
Because that's a good way out. Sorry, I love you. Love you, but. See ya. Let's go to Bob and see what is on his mind. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, Dr. Doug. I got a question. I'm getting a new puppy.
Hold
in
on.
2 weeks.
This is Bob with 1 O.
Bob with 1 O. You got it.
I knew it. AM and the PM.
Almost had him. So, Bob, I'm sorry. Start over. Sorry. What?
I have getting a new puppy in 2 weeks. It's a toy fox terrier, and just want to know what doctor's recommendation is on when to get the dog neutered.
Okay. So I guess you have all the other decisions made already, right? You've seen the puppy, you know it, you've selected it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of variation in policy for that, but typically the little breeds like you're describing, I believe you can do those safely at 6 months, something like that. For the bigger breeds now, they feel like you need to wait for at least a year because their bone maturation is slower, and they feel like neutering them too soon is going to compromise those animals. But the little ones, I think you're fine by 4 to 6 months. So most vets will do 6 months. I used to do them earlier.
I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, enjoy.
All right.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye now.
Since, for whatever reason, this is a slow day, maybe we need to take a minute here to, because we never let people know you, really. I mean, know that you had a clinic. You don't have a clinic now. You sold it.
Right.
You'll always be a veterinarian. You never say used to be a veterinarian. You're never. Still, you always will be.
Right. I'm actually looking at some opportunities to do something new in a non-for-profit setting to help people that really don't have the ability to pay the kind of expense there is with keeping a good pet in, someplace.
What is it? What's the most expensive pet to keep? Maybe should be called
a dog version.
Well, maybe you shouldn't call it a pet. Like a horse is expensive.
Horse has got to be one of the most expensive because the feed, the veterinary bills, if you're in the show ring, the travel, the cost of all that. That's pretty. But almost potentially any show kind of critter is potentially going to cost.
When I think of horses, I don't think of show horses. I think if somebody thought, hey, it'd be a good idea, let's get a couple of horses and we'll ride, and they have no idea going into it what they're getting into because of the cost of the horse is the easy part.
That can't possibly compare in cost with the maintenance of a penthouse pet.
Penthouse pet?
I got it.
I quit reading.
Oh,
I got it.
I know where you're going.
Five guys on the show and two got it.
You just, by doing that, put yourself in almost the senior citizen category because penthouse pet, that's a reference from
Penthouse magazine, Playboy magazine,
did
two
you get
magazines.
It? Limey,
the penthouse magazine had the penthouse pet of the month. It was the centerfold.
Cam,
it was the lifted up centerfold.
Yeah.
I know it was a porn magazine.
I'm in ARP.
He didn't know what it was.
I'm in ARP. I mean, I'm a mini senior. Okay. I don't have the senior's tees, but I'm a mini senior.
All right. We're going to talk to Scott. Here are the numbers, 314-821-0590, 855-282-8255. We'll do let's get to know Dr. Doug, and we'll take a call, and we'll get to Dr. Doug, and we'll take another call. Scott, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
How are you, Dr. Doug? I'm AM and the PM.
Thanks, Scott. I'm great, Scott. What's going on?
I have an older dog. She's a miniature poodle. She's 11 now. And she's been, as she walks along, you can see, mostly when she goes from sun to shadow, she's starting to, flinch a lot. Like, bugs would be flying in her face. And the doctor said it was, I guess, cataracts. And does that sound I'm guessing at that stage, that's normal?
So I think I heard that correctly, that the dog will just be walking along and start flinching, lights bothering it, or sees another animal, it gets fearful. Is that what you said?
Like bugs?
No, it flinches like there would be bugs flying at her face, but there's no bugs around.
Oh,
and I think her sight with cataracts. I'm assuming that's normal at 11 that they start doing that.
I'm not sure that it would be cataracts, but you could always talk to either an ophthalmologist, veterinary ophthalmologist, or a veterinary neurologist. We have several good ones here in town, and just make sure. I would think, at that How old is the dog again? 15?
11.
11, okay. I would be a little more concerned that it might actually be a neurological problem. Whether it's something to worry about or whether it's something that's really going to compromise your pet, I don't know that. But I just never seen that. I've seen so many dogs with cataracts. You know, I can see them flinching if the light's low and something's in their way that they're not used to. But what you're describing, I think, is different. And there are something called, well, seizures come in every form. And you can have, like, a weird seizure presentation. Sometimes we have animals that just look like they're biting at flies and stuff like that.
So, just in the air. That aren't there. That's kind of what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's what I think. So I would just, you know, have your vet direct you to one of the specialists. And I think at least to satisfy your concern that it's not a progressive thing. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So this Chinese guy goes into the ophthalmologist. And the ophthalmologist says, what's the problem? He goes, well, my left eye, all cloudy, left eye. He goes, well, examines him, says, you have a cataract. He goes, no, I got Rincon Continental.
Everybody knew.
Thank you.
Well, Dan, you should know. I've been telling the joke for 40 years, so you should know about it.
I feel enriched.
Where did you go to veterinary school? Was it Mizzou?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I went there. I'm an old guy, so I went there many years ago, and it was kind of after the wave post Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of people applying. It was significant. And there was about a 1 in 12 chance of getting in at that time, because a lot of the guys came out of the Army and they went right into something. So, and at that time, they didn't have a matching program like they do now, where you can apply anywhere, all these different states. At that time, if your state had a school, you were obligated to go apply to that school. You weren't going to get into any other schools.
Really?
Well, there were only like 23 schools nationwide. So,
is that still the case?
There still aren't many, but at least now, like I said, you can apply to 5 or 10, whatever you want. They'll put you on a matching program just like medical school, and then the school matches you with you matching the school, and hopefully you'll get in someplace.
So are there today a lot of young people that want to be veterinarians? Is it up, down? Is the interest waning, or is it better than ever?
For a long time, there was an excess of veterinarians. And then all of a sudden, in the last 10 years, there's been this wave towards corporate ownership change. So these corporate entities are going around and they're aggregating, or they're collecting up all these assets. Each one is a vet clinic because it's such a durable profession. You know, economic times don't really hurt it in the most cases, because people, if they come home, like even COVID, they start focusing on their home and their animals.
In fact, when economically times are bad, people want pets more.
Exactly.
Like you just said, they're home.
Right.
Get a pet.
Right. So, so that happened.
But anyway.
And now all of a sudden, there's a tremendous need for veterinarians. So I was looking around in Florida, for instance. I mean, in Missouri, it's the same. Everywhere nationally, they even have signing bonuses of $10,000 to $20,000 if you take a job with one of these big corporate entities.
Wow.
Mars is the biggest owner of, God, I don't know how many clinics they own now. They're a private corporation, obviously. Probably one
but
of the richest.
Is that a good thing, though? That
not
corporate vet?
Yeah.
See, I don't
like it.
I like that guy that lives in town that everybody knows. That's our vet.
Right.
Right. And they do that. Some of the aggregators try and keep the label looking, the brand looks the same.
Yeah.
But actually, they own it, and they're instituting their policies.
But it takes, the personal connection.
Absolutely.
I'll give you an example. I started studying to be, and thought I was going to be an optometrist. That's what I started studying to be.
Uh-huh.
It was a mistake. I'm glad I didn't do it. It would have been a big mistake. And one of the reasons I'm glad I didn't do it is, when I was a kid and you went to the optometrist, that was a doctor with his own clinic, just like the dentist or the MD or the chiropractor. And it was thought of as you never had, I'm going to go to Walmart to the optometrist. And then along came Lens Crafters and the Walmart and the Target had a, and all of a sudden being an optometrist, it was just, it sort of diluted the status and the personal interaction that you had with, you know, Dr. Pernikoff, who was our, and that's I don't know that I, nothing against the corporate vet. I'm sure there's some fine ones, but it just lost something.
I totally agree. I just, for me, I never wanted to be a 13-man practice or anything. I just wanted to maintain the relationship with the pets. And almost everybody that walks out of my clinic became a friend of some sort. And I've been out of it for a bit, but I saw an old client on I think it was Home Depot on the parking lot. Where have you been? I've been trying to find you. So I still get like 2 or 3 calls a week from
clients. So to go to vet school, obviously you have to have a high school education. You have to have 2 years of college, 4 years of college?
They have 2-year programs in some schools, Mizzou.
No, I mean before vet school.
Yeah, 2 years, 2 years pre, and you can get in, like a Johns Hopkins or UMKC. So, yeah, you can do it in 2 years.
And then vet school itself is how long?
That's 4 years, and then you have the option to do an internship, a residency, post-residency, a PhD, just like the medical field.
So what does it cost now to go to vet school?
Gosh, it's like typically...
30, 40?
Minimum. I would say 40 to 60 or higher. And I used to speak to the pre-vet club at the University of Missouri, and the first thing I tell them is, you've got to realize the cost. 4 years of undergrad, then 4 years of vet school, and anything else you do, you're going to be, and then you're going to come out. The problem is the starting pay might be $50,000 or $60,000, and you've got a loan nut that you have to cover that's $300,000 or $400,000.
According to the University of Missouri website, what's a VM1, VM2, VM3, and VM4?
That's the 4 years of
vet school.
That's the 4 years of vet school.
It's a resident of Missouri to go to vet school at Mizzou for 4 years, averages just over $50,000 a year.
There you go. 40 to 60. And that doesn't include living expenses and,
that does include that.
It does?
It includes personal expenses and transportation. Tuition and fees, year one is $27,200. Books and supplies, $1,300. Room and board, $11,200. Personal expenses and transportation, $10,900.
I can tell you, I've heard other schools around the country.
I'm just surprised there aren't far more people who want to be veterinarians than they can train. I am, because...
They've all increased, like Mizzou, when I went there, I think we had 50 or 60 students in a class. Now there are 120 or something like that. So, and that's all the schools have done that. Some states, like California, have 2 vet schools. And
did you write your papers in stone tablets back then?
No, the difference was there were like 90% men and 10% kind of women. So
kind of women?
Well, I mean, we used to joke that you could tell the girls in vet school because they look like they're right off the farm and kind of tough. But now
that makes sense. So they spent their lives growing up taking care of horses and cattle and animals.
That's true.
And,
no, they were tough. But now it's turned around. There's like 80% girls and 15 or 20% boys. And
I want to
go back to vet school.
80% female. Yeah. There you go, gentlemen.
I know guys that went to nursing school for that very reason.
You bet.
Well, the other problem with it then, Frank, is that a lot of those, and I'm not putting women down for this because they're great vets, but, they want to. A lot of them want to have families later.
Yeah.
And I think that also contributes to the fewer than needed vets in the community. And, and I don't know if you know this, but our kids are a lot different. They work their butts off. But everybody tells me that the young professionals in all sciences just don't want to work as hard as we all had to.
Let's talk to Tony, and I got another question for you. Sure. Tony's held long enough. Tony, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, hi, Dr. Doug and everybody else.
Tony?
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Okay, I guess. Hey, I have 2 rescue dogs. One's 11, the other one's going on 5. And they absolutely love ice cream, and I love to give it to them because I like to see their faces when I say ice cream.
Uh-huh.
Am I doing them some harm? I don't do it a lot, maybe 2-3 times a month.
Yeah, it's one of those things, don't do as I do as I say. So they don't need it. It's not part of their dietary requirements.
Does it hurt them?
Unless you do a lot or they're predisposed to becoming diabetic later, but they make them fat. All the same reasons we should
be. He said a couple times a month. That's
I only feed my kids once a day, evening, that's all.
So no big deal twice a month, Tony.
If you get some diarrhea, you're giving too much.
If he gets, if Tony gets diarrhea?
If Tony gets diarrhea, you're giving the dogs too much.
Yeah, okay. Hey, a couple other quick questions. I have a Labradoodle. She's going on 5. And when I get home, like I'm on my way home now, when I get home, she goes absolutely berserk. She runs around and cries and screams and pees, and she's so excited. And I mean, is there anything I can give her to slow her down?
Well, she loves you. That's the wonderful thing.
So,
you could talk to your veterinarian, but it's only for a few moments while you're settling in. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't give her anything, but if somebody's home ahead of time and I don't know if it'll work or not, but ask your vet about giving a little Benadryl or something like that.
Benadryl.
And
see
I got to me, that's one of the great things about dogs. I don't know about cats, is that when you come home, they're thrilled to death to see you when you come. I think that I love that.
Oh, she's like a little bull. She weighs about 70 pounds, and as I'm trying to walk in the house,
knock you down.
She's bumping into me and almost knocking me down. So I'd like to give her something to slow her down just for that few minutes. But other than that, yeah, I love her to death. She's
three by $400. You get a good taser, like the cops use, $400 or $500. That'll slow her down for a little bit.
Yeah, that'll slow her down a lot.
All right, Tony.
Okay, one last thing on him and the piano. And Dr. Doug, maybe I missed it, but are you AM and PM?
He said it just a few minutes ago. He got it in.
Good.
Thank
good
you, Tony. You.
All right, have a good day. Bye.
You can tell Tony's listening a long time because he knows we try to trip you up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm 50 years old. Is it just me or is that the first time I've ever heard a story where a guy is worried about his cat knocking him over when he walks in the door?
Dog.
Oh, well, I thought he said
I would
cat.
Worry if it was a cat knocking him over.
That means he's got a tiger or a lion at home.
I misheard.
So here's another weird question, but I'm serious. When you're in vet school, and you're learning about where do you get your dead animals? Because I know people donate bodies to colleges, medical facility. Do people donate pets for science?
It's kind of interesting. If you go into an anatomy room, the first year of anatomy, they have a lot of animals that might have been donated, like horses and stuff. They're all already infused and they're preserved. And then each team, class team of maybe 4 to 6 people, has their own sheep or whatever.
Are they frozen or what?
They're just like you're preparing.
Like embalmed?
Yeah, they're embalmed. And then obviously we go through the dissection and all. But now for some of the surgical labs that we have to do later in our career, second and third year, I think they do acquire those through some scientific support or supply.
Did you ever have to dissect an animal in high school, Frank, or grade school?
Yes.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, it was fun.
I'm not going to mention the school. I once in St. Louis, I got a tour of a medical university facility, and they got to one point, and it was just me.
Yeah.
And the guy said, "I need to know how squeamish you are and what you can and can't handle." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "This is where we keep the bodies." They were human people.
Yeah,
they were people.
Right.
And I said, "I'm okay." I was, but when we walked into this room, they were hung up like dry cleaners, like clothing in the dry cleaner. The bodies were men, women, obviously nude, they were dead.
Right.
And I thought that was weird that they had a, like the cleaners were moving and this conveyor thing, and they were hung under their arms, but it was just strange.
Yeah, that is, they have to move them, and we had the same thing. I mean, a giant cow or something, they have a system that does that. And I was in grad school at WashU, and I went into the anatomy lab at the med school, and I'm walking through there. It was nighttime, and I just happened to walk into the wrong room, and they had all the bodies in dissection were already in the middle of class, and so it was quiet, it was closed, all the bodies were covered, but one guy's arm was just hanging out off the table.
A human arm.
Yeah, and it was pretty bizarre.
Well, so you worked on
I didn't have human to do that, bodies? But I was in an anthropology grad student, so we had a lot of professors that taught at the med school.
I have to tell you, when I saw these people, all I could think about was that guy hanging there, that's somebody's dad. Now, right. I know you have to have that.
Right.
How would you ever learn?
Right.
Or somebody has to donate their body.
Yeah, I think the human field is a lot different. They used to, you know, I've heard stories, they used to get bodies from elsewhere out of the country or whatever, but I think a lot of them come through donation by families.
A lot of families who don't want to pay for a burial.
Really?
Yeah.
We actually had it in our family.
Yeah.
A donation to a medical school.
Yeah. It costs.
No, I know it's
costly. A low end burial is going to run you probably five figures.
Did you know we just crossed 2 weeks ago, and this is from the Funeral Home Directors Association of America or whatever, we just passed over the 50% mark for cremation. This country now, more than half the people choose cremation for various reasons, but one of them is cost.
Yeah, cost, and, you know, we're running out of earth, maybe. I don't know.
I've wondered about that for years.
Yeah.
How much more ground is there to put these boxes in? Think about it. Think of the millions of people who died, and we put them in a metal thing under the ground.
Right.
You're going to run out of ground.
Right. Absolutely.
I can't believe we haven't run out already. Think about the centuries of people buried.
It was a news story just last year, St. Louis County having to buy extra acreage to expand J.B. Cemetery.
Wow.
There you go.
I'm a cremation person.
It's against our religion to do that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
But I think it does something
to your soul. It kind of creeps me out a little bit, but so does being stuck in a box under the ground. And I watched a movie not long ago, and they showed the big fire. They closed the door, and I thought, are we absolutely sure you don't feel anything when you're dead? I'm not kidding. Do we know for a fact that that doesn't...
Hot. I've been to... You're Jewish, right?
Yes.
Ever been to a Jewish funeral?
Yes.
I've been to one in my life, and it was so cool because... Everybody got to throw one shovel of dirt on the casket.
Yeah.
I was raised Catholic. We didn't get to do
that. And
they
don't mess around. You bury them like in a day or two, right?
Unless it's the weekend, the Sabbath.
Yeah, but they don't wait a week or get it done.
We do have a period called Shiva. It's like a wake.
Yeah.
But it's not with the body. It's after the burial. And then you spend a week, in the home of the deceased and you say prayer. It's the whole idea is to have the family together supporting the people.
Oh, and the food.
And the food's amazing.
The food of the Shiva.
See, to me, working on an animal body, we're totally different than working on somebody's uncle or something, because that's who's lying there, somebody's mom or brother or whatever. Let's talk to Jeff. Jeff, welcome to Morgue Talk on 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
How you doing, Doug? I'm AM and the PM.
I'm good, Jeff. And you?
I'm great. I got one question, or actually two. I have two cats, two kittens, actually. My wife took the cats to the vet to get them their shots, and we looked into getting them declawed and neutered.
Mm-hmm.
Our vet told us that is inhumane to do to a cat to have them declawed, and she wouldn't recommend anybody do it. So we found a place that would do it, but she told me there's an alternative to you could put caps on their claws to where they don't scratch up the furniture and knead up the carpet or anything like that.
Sure.
So what do you think?
Well, we used to sell those too. They don't stay on very long. They're just a little like a rubber tubing little piece that goes right over the claw. But, you know, again, the cats are always messing with their feet, so they tend not to stay on. But it's one alternative. We always did what's called a tendinectomy. So instead of taking a traditional declaw actually amputates the last digit on your finger, just feel it, where the nail is, and that's pretty painful unless you do it really, really young. But so what we did was we would just do a little slit in the middle digit area and pull out the tendon, cut it on both ends, and glue it shut. It was so much more humane. The nail was retained.
The claw is retracted.
It can't retract anymore.
It can't come out. It's permanently retracted.
Right.
They still have the claw.
Right.
They just don't extend it.
The only problem is you have to clear that nail up intermittently because it still grows, and they're not inclined to want to, you know, scratch or we call it kneading, where they're kneading at things. So it's a good question. So ask your vet if they know anyone, because this is the new wave, is no more declaws. They can, same thing with ear docking or tail docking. some people just won't do it and they don't want to. It's their choice and it's your choice to have it done. You just have to find someplace that does it. Obviously, we'll tell people if you do get a declaw, you don't want them outside because they're more vulnerable to predators or other cats or dogs or whatever. So you want to be manage them humanely. But, yeah, I would go ask him about the tendinectomy. And, you know, like I said, when I was in practice just a couple of years ago, I think we were the only one or one of the few in St. Louis that would even do that. And I never understood it because it was such a humane, simple thing. They go home the same day. They don't even demonstrate much pain, if any. And try it.
Okay. And then one more. I'm sorry to bother you. Take
no.
After you get the cat neutered, or a cat neuter, do they seem to relax more? Well, the kittens are 9 weeks old right now. So.
And when did you do? They're both males?
Yeah, they're both brothers.
Okay, so you have to be careful. If you do them too young, and 9 weeks obviously is too young, then they have a problem because the urethra, or the passage through the penis, doesn't reach full development. That's what I blame my rabbi for. But
well, you got Dan's attention. Penis not being fully developed. Dan looked up, what?
Anyway.
If
you do it too soon, you're going to have obstruction issues later in life because most cats produce minerals, or we call it sand, in their bladder. And some of those can form into stone aggregates or little pebbles, and they can block the cat. That's an emergency situation. They can die very soon, in 12 hours or 18 hours if you don't notice it. So that's why we'll usually wait till they're older to neuter them and try and avoid that to any degree you can. Females have a larger tract, and they just, I think I've seen one obstructed female in 37 years. So
okay,
we dated.
Alrighty, well, I appreciate your information, and I'll keep that in mind. Thank you very much.
Jeff, thank you. And Linda, we have 2.5 minutes exactly. It is all yours. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug, and I am AM and the PM.
Thank you, Linda. Hi, Linda.
I just wanted to make a comment about the cremation thing, and the reason that it is up so much more than it used to be is because the Catholic Church never allowed cremation until a few years ago. And my husband passed away. He donated his body to science, and then they cremated him at St. Louis University after they had done all of the tests that they needed to do. Well, also, my husband and his brothers had also bought plots at Resurrection Cemetery, and so there was going to be six of us, and we were going to be three high. So they're not all just single plots. We were going to be buried one on top of each other. Yeah. And I really did not ever want my brother-in-law on top of me because he just took my ear off.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that. Do you guys know
that? I've
never heard of that.
I have. You're on the risk of offending people if you tell people what you feel or think about funerals. I think the whole idea of a funeral, a casket and all that is barbaric and insane to me. But that's just my personal. I get it, I guess.
Yeah.
I also don't like cremation. I'm not 100% for that either. None of it is.
Well, my son just passed away also, and I had him cremated, and then the Catholic Church said I need to bury him, and I still have him in my family room. I don't know if I'm going to do that or not, because in order to open this burial plot, it would cost me well over $1,000.
Well, why don't you ask the Catholic Church to pay for it for you if they want you to do it?
Yeah, right.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I would say you do what makes you feel good. I'll be careful here, but you do what makes you feel good.
Exactly. All right, well, Linda. I just love your show.
Thank you. We love you in a sexual way.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Linda. Bye-bye.
I told my wife just to bury me in the backyard and put some flowers over.
Now? Like now? Like
well,
before you
like
die?
She would right now.
Yeah. Well, I saw, she said a couple things to me about how you, as a hoarder, I could tell. She may be ready to bury you now.
Maybe 10 years ago.
Die. So we'll do it again next Wednesday. Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Thank you,
everybody. And welcome to my Window World, number one selling replacement window in the country. You can find out more at windowworld.com. stlouis.com. I see that Bill Cleveland is here, so I know that all the ducks are in a row, and we are ready to rock and roll with the Playhouse after the news. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
We're all changing things up to stay healthy. We're here 24-7. 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard is filing felony murder charges against the police officer who shot and killed Rayshard Brooks in a Wendy's parking lot in Georgia. Howard said Brooks did not pose a threat to the community.
Even though Mr. Brooks was slightly impaired, his demeanor during this incident was almost jovial.
Former